I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And we have the podcast Office Ladies. Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories and lots of laughs.
Follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Pleased to be joined by Howard Zemsky. First, it was a great announcement today for the Albright Knox Museum, which is such a great institution to begin with. But when you think about the fact that they have art that they store because they don't have the space to show it, it's really it's been a waste. And this is going to be really transformative for this great institution. I also announced that Howard Zemsky is going to be taking over responsibility for the Buffalo $1 billion projects and the Empire State Development Corporation. In consideration of his additional work that he's going to do, I'm announcing that I am now doubling his salary. And I believe the people of the state will all support that because I think he's worth every penny. Any questions that you have?
In regards to the remarks you made upstairs just recently, before you came down, correct me if I'm wrong, but it sounded like what you were saying is people's impression of the Buffalo Billion should not be tarnished at all if the biggest portion of it somehow was tainted with corruption, but they shouldn't see the Buffalo Billion any differently. Is that what you were saying?
No. Frankly, I don't understand what you're saying. The Buffalo Billion, I was saying, is not about projects in the ground and nine individuals who are alleged to have done bad acts. Buffalo Billion is about a whole enterprise that has been going on for years that involves hundreds and hundreds of people in transforming Buffalo fundamentally and taking cynicism and turning it into hope and taking pessimism and turning it into optimism. Where before Buffalo was focused on the past and yesterday is now focused on the future. That's what the Buffalo Billion is all about.
But do people have reason to look at the Buffalo Billion in a different light based on what happened yesterday with the announcement of the criminal charges?
Well, I think what I think a fair reading would be is there are allegations that nine people did the wrong thing. If the allegations turn out correct, justice will be done and they will pay the price. I'm the former attorney general. I put people in jail. Public trust is job one. And if anyone did the wrong thing, they will pay the price. But the Buffalo Billion is not about nine people, right? We had a report done, an investigation into the procurement process. Remember, the procurement process that is at issue was done by the state university system, which has its own procurement process. That process was reviewed. We're now transferring the responsibility to the Empire State Development Corporation. ESD will design its own procurement system and will accept the recommendations of the report that was done.
Governor Cuomo, this was your signature project. The people indicted yesterday were some of your top lieutenants. How did this happen right under your nose? Did you not know about it, or did you turn a blind eye?
Well, not top lieutenants, right? There was
Joe Percoco was not a top
lieutenant. A friend.
Was not a top lieutenant?
Well, if you let me respond. Okay. Alain Calleros has worked for five governors, right? Alain Calleros was at SUNY in the 80s. Served Governor Spitzer, Governor Patterson, Governor Pataki, invested billions of dollars of state money in nanotechnology, which turned around Albany, right? So Mr. Calleros has had a 20-year, all right, if you stop talking, I'll answer. Mr. Calleros has had a long career in state government. He also has done a lot of good for New York State. Joe Percoco has been a longtime friend of mine, a longtime friend of my family. I've known him about 25 years. My father knows him since he's been 19 years old. I said my father would be heartbroken if he read that complaint, And no, I had no idea about anything that was contained in that complaint.
The $750 million...
Well, first, these have to be proven, right? And these are not... these were secondary and tertiary level situations. You know, I was not aware of who was some of these people were representing and who were their business consultants. To the extent the situations that are laid out in the complaint were breathtaking to me when I read them.
While we understand the idea behind the Buffalo Billion in terms of it being a mentality, if you will, which is what you were talking about yesterday, I think a lot of people, especially those in Buffalo, want to know about the $750 million project that's going on down at Riverbend, that now clearly, with its largest contractor being implicated in this federal corruption case, has to move forward, according to you, according to Mr. Zemsky, the confidence that you displayed just a couple of weeks ago when you were in town. How can you specifically ensure the public that this project that so much is resting on, let alone tax dollars, that it will be able to move forward untainted when there was problems with funding just earlier this summer, three times from SUNY Polytech?
Yeah. Well, it's apples and oranges. The funding from SUNY Poly, there were administrative problems with the funding, which had nothing to do with what we're talking about here. It's tainted, quote unquote. I don't know what that means in this context. The building is going up. The company is moving in. The jobs are being produced.
I guess
there's an allegation. There's an allegation that the company may have done something wrong that developed it. Fine. It'll go to the courts. There'll be a process. There'll be a trial. If they did something wrong, then they'll be punished.
But I mean, if the tax. Work, I guess. Do you see what I'm saying? The people who are in charge of that project, they now, at least the leader of that company, is implicated. So he has some legal issues to deal with. How will that day-to-day operate down there?
Oh, I don't believe it. No, it won't have a day-to-day effect. The building is going to proceed. The company moves in. The jobs are created. On a separate track, there will be a trial. The courts will determine whether or not the person did something wrong. If they did, and there's money that was wrongfully taken, the state will do everything it can to recapture that money.
Why should the taxpayers believe that this is the way every project is bid, that there's an insider deal each and every time? Because if it can happen with something this big, why can't it happen all the time?
Well, you look, in life, you have this situation repeat itself. I see it the exact opposite way. We do thousands of projects that are then audited. We have a state controller who goes through them. We have a New York State Attorney General who approves every contract. The ones we're talking about are by far the exception rather than the rule, right? If we have funded 3,000 projects, it's probably an understatement. And we're talking about 9 charges, which is serious, but they are 9 charges. So let's keep it in focus.
Governor, the U.S. Attorney's investigation has now reached your inner circle. Do you have any concerns about your own behavior? Are you being investigated at all by the U.S. Attorney's office, to your knowledge?
No. And I think the U.S. Attorney was asked that question yesterday, if you look
Governor
at the table.
Sorry.
No.
Governors,
are
any...
Are you worried that other staffers may be implicated here?
No, I think the complaint spoke for itself, and the U.S. Attorney said basically that. You can look at the U.S. Attorney's comments, but the product of his investigation was included in that complaint.
Governor, was there anything in this process that you would do differently? Anything you need to apologize for, or looking back on it, anything you would do differently?
Well, Bob, I think the procurement process was run through the state university system, through a process that was not designed, by the way, by my administration, but had been in place for previous administrations, right? And as we mentioned, Alain Calleros is no stranger to this state. He's done a lot of work for a lot of governors through SUNY, and a lot of good work, I might add. Using that process. Was there a reason to revisit the process at SUNY? There wasn't, Bob, because it was in place, it was working well, and there had been no complaints about the process. Now we find that there were flaws in the process. We're taking the responsibility from SUNY to ESD, which already has a different procurement process in place. Plus, we had a full study done, and we're accepting the recommendations from that study.
Do you have any idea how big the second phase of the Buffalo building will be?
We have to get the master to develop a plan first, and he has 3 months, and then... No. They start with a plan and what you want to accomplish. Don't get a number. Get him coming up with a number. Come up with a plan first, and then we'll see. We'll take it from there.
Do you see the strategy changing or the overall vision changing?
I don't, David. Look, it's working. That's what I said in there, right? It is working. It's working on any matrix that you want to pick. It's working. You walk down the street and you ask a Buffalonian, is it working? They say yes. You go to Rochester and you say, is Buffalo better? They say yes. You look at the number of jobs coming in. Look at the value of people's homes. Look at the wages people are getting paid. The situation is better on every index. You know, is it perfect? No. But is it definitely better? And is the psyche better? I remember when I first started speaking to Buffalo as governor. And you would talk to Buffalonians about possibly improving the plight of Buffalo, and they would look at you like you had three heads. They were in total disbelief. It was reinforced by the media. I said to the newspaper once, if I read your newspaper, I'd put my house up for sale and I would get out of town. Listen to some of these TV broadcasts, I'd move. Everything was negative and reinforcing the negative. We now have a different cycle. It's working.
Governor, the job creation numbers in this region are a half to a quarter of the national average. Poverty in Buffalo is increasing. Downtown Buffalo has near record vacancy rates. How can you stand there with a straight face and tell us that everything is great? Buffalo lags behind the rest of the state. Buffalo lags behind the rest of the country on the most important matrix there is. Job creation. Where do you get off telling us that everything is great?
Yeah, you are just wrong on the facts.
I'm quoting your Labor Department numbers.
No,
job creation lags in Western New York.
Well, first of all, I never said everything is perfect. I didn't say that. I said things are better, and it's the first time things are better in a long, long time. And if you want to say every glass is half empty, then every glass is half empty. We're not done, but things are better. Unemployment is down. Home values are up. Well, we're not leading the nation. You're right, but you are...
You use the word model. How can a place lagging in job creation be a model for the rest of the country?
Because for many years, Buffalo was a model of decline. They would say, I was in Washington for 8 years, and you know what they would talk about as symbols of cities in New York, cities in this country? Detroit and Buffalo. Detroit and Buffalo. Symbols of decline and despair. They don't talk about that anymore. Now they talk about Buffalo as a model for a city that's coming back.
Governor, you have said...
All right, guys, one more.
The possibility of a re-election campaign?
I don't think so.
Governor, you have said
the situation here in Buffalo with the contracts was an exception, not what normally happens. But we have seen in the indictment allegations in Syracuse and in Albany. When taxpayers hear that, they're going to say, this sounds like a systematic issue.
It was a systematic issue. These are projects primarily managed by the SUNY Poly system. This is what I was saying in response to Mr. McCarthy. SUNY, State University System of New York, was running these projects, not just under me, under the past five governors, with this process in place. I did not revisit the process. I didn't change the process. It was the same process, and basically the same people. The allegations are that process was tainted. And the allegations are very serious, and we take them very seriously. We're going to remove those projects from the responsibility of SUNY, transfer them to the Empire State Development Company, which has a fundamentally different process in place to begin with. And second, we have a full report on how we can make the procurement system even better.
Despite your assertions about the procurement process being handled by SUNY, the fact of the matter is your close friend and one of your top advisors was alleged to be squeezing LP Simonelli to fund to provide more money toward your campaign fundraising efforts. And that was shortly before you announced the Riverbend project. How can you say this doesn't link back to you?
I said the SUNY made the decisions on the projects, which they did.
Your top aide is actually supposedly telling LP Simonelli, you need to contribute more, raise more money for your campaign. You're telling me you're completely...
He had nothing. The complaint doesn't say he had anything to do with the procurement from SUNY.
At any point in the last 3 years, some of the allegations that were raised in the indictment yesterday have been the subject of press reports going back 2.5 years. At any point in the last 2.5 years, did you go to Elaine Kerleos or anybody else and say, what's going on? Is there any truth to these allegations?
This investigation has been going on for like 2 years.
Well, did you ever go to your top people and question what they were doing to satisfy yourself that everything was on the up and up?
Yes, there was an official investigation that was going on.
Did you ever pick up the phone and call Elaine Kerleos and say, what?
Did I ever interfere with an investigation? No.
No. Did you ever ask your chief economic development guy upstate, is there any substance to these allegations?
To the extent there were any bona fide questions, of course we asked. The investigation that ended yesterday was in place for about 2 years. Once an investigation commences, as you know, it would be nobody wants to interfere with an ongoing investigation.
Governor, scheduled another meeting yesterday. We're talking about deadlock possibly. I mean, what's your thoughts on that? That they can't seem to come to an agreement.
Look, it's very clear. And I think they were very clear. Their last meeting was supposed to be yesterday. And they said at that commission hearing that the legislature has not made the case to justify a raise. The Pay Raise Commission, for those of you who haven't followed it, are supposed to make a recommendation as to whether or not the legislature and the top executives should have a pay raise, if so, how much? And the commission was supposed to make that determination. They had been asking the legislature to come forward and make the case for a pay raise. Very few legislators came forward to make an affirmative case for the pay raise. At the same time, a number of legislators publicly have been saying there shouldn't be a pay raise. And a number have said, if there is a pay raise, we're not going to accept it. So the commission said yesterday, they didn't make the case. To the extent you're hearing from legislators, they're against it or they won't accept it. So the bottom line, and I don't think they said it this bluntly, but I think the commission concluded, they're not going to recommend any pay raise for the legislature. So if the legislature believes they have an argument for a pay raise, they are going to have to make it. And that was the clear message from yesterday. And I hope they hear it. Because the commission was saying, unless they affirmatively step forward and make an argument why they should have an increase in pay, the commission is going to recommend no increase. Now, the legislature hasn't had a raise in something like 17 years. But just saying we haven't had a raise in 17 years isn't enough. You have to say what you're doing or what you would do to justify that raise. And that's what the commission is saying.
Do you think the is Simonelli going to continue to be considered for RFPs for projects going forward? And what happens to the projects that they're involved in, Athenex headquarters downtown in Buffalo, for instance, right now?
Yeah, those are legal questions that we're looking through right now.
All right, guys, thank
okay,
you very
guys.
Much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Do you think the public has a stomach for a pay raise?
I want the commission to respond first before I give my opinion, because the commission was impaneled to answer just that question. So let them give their opinion and then I'll give mine.
All right, guys, thank you very
much.
I
don't know, David. We have to look at that. That's not the ESD model, though.
Thanks, guys.
You got it.
On my new podcast, On Par with Maury Povich, we're getting down to the truth behind the names that you know and love. Unfiltered conversations with legends like Leanne Morgan, Kathy Griffin, Ricky Lake. Find out when they feel the most on par. We're breaking it down with Don Lemon, Aaron Parnas, Lamani Jones, laughing it up with Josh Johnson, Dan Soder, many more. You know, the results are in. Great conversations are always on par. So follow and listen to On Par wherever you get your podcasts.